helper, God,
to us tonight. I know you hear me say that a lot from the pulpit. And I want to say the reason I say it a lot is because I mean it a lot. He is good to His people. Amen. I've been trying through the years. My children are about grown. They're about grown, but they're not gone. Amen. They're still with me. And I've been trying through the years to teach them to be appreciative when people do things for them. But I've been trying more than ever to teach them to be appreciative to God for everything He does for them. Amen. I mean, if we get up in the day, in the morning, we should thank Him for that day that He's allowed us to have. Amen. To be a part of. And I wasn't going to preach tonight this, but I do feel the Lord dealing with my heart. And I tell you, I know that it is God speaking to my heart. One reason I know is because every song has pointed right toward the message that God had dealt with me earlier this week on. And another reason I know is because the Spirit of God has spoke to my heart. And I just know that the Lord is the one that's able to help you tonight. No matter what you may be facing in life, no matter what may be going on right now in the center of your life. Let me put it this way, in the center of your world. You see, I've got a world and you've got a world. I look at this world today one way, tomorrow I'll look at it another. But we've all got a world that evolves around us and we're right in the center of it. What we've got to do is prepare ourselves to be a part of that world. And when we begin to do that, and we begin to see that motivation taking part in our life, we begin to know something's happening. Something's taking place. Sister Gail asked me to sing this song. It's funny she asked me to sing this song because I'd have sang this Sunday night if I'd have preached this message. So we'll back it up 3 or 4 nights, and we'll do it tonight. Let's try Z chord. But here I am, in tears on bended knees. Here I am, here I am, in tears on bended knees. Well, I failed you, Lord. But I'm trying, now hear my plea. For only You can change my life. Take this darkness and make it light. And make me what You want me to be. Yes, Lord, make me what You want me to be. So this world might see Jesus, dear Lord, in me. For only You can make me just exactly what You want me to be. Lord, make me what You want me to be. You see, I lost hold of God along this way. I've been reaping what I sowed, but now I pray. Bring back the joy that I once had, and the peace that people don't understand, and make me what You want me to be. Yes, Lord, make me what you want me to be. So this world might see Jesus, hey Lord, in me. Lord, I know you can help me be what you've always wanted me to be. Lord, make me what you want me to be. Well, Lord, I know I can't make it on my own. I need strength to travel home when mine is gone. But with joy I know someday, Lord, I walk through those pearly gates, 'cause you made me what you wanted me to be. Help me sing that chorus. Lord, make me what you want me to be. So this world might see Jesus, hey Lord, in me. Lord, I know you can help me be what you've always wanted me to be. Lord, make me what you want me to be. Oh, here I am in tears on bended knees. Well, I failed you, Lord, but I'm trying. Now hear my plea. Only you can change my life, take this darkness and make it light, and make me what you want me to be. You see, I lost hold of God along this way. I've been reaping what I sowed, but Lord, I pray, bring back the joy that I once had, peace that men don't understand, and make me what you want me to be. Yes, Lord, make me what you want me to be. So this world might see Jesus, hey Lord, in me. Lord, I know you can help me to be what you've always wanted me to be. So Lord, make me what you want me to be. Why don't you just slip your hand up tonight and just ask him to make you what he wants you to be. Oh God, we thank you tonight. We praise you. Lord, would you touch your people tonight? Would you speak to our hearts, oh God? Would you strengthen our souls, Lord? God, we praise you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. thank you, Lord. I believe He can make us tonight just exactly what He wants us to be. It's a rough process. Sometimes it gets pretty hard. But there's one thing for sure, God knows exactly what He is doing with your life. I thought this week as God began to speak to my heart about a little subject, and I began to read some verses of Scripture, God began to deal with me. A lot of times we'll never understand everything that goes on around us and in our life. We don't understand why. We don't understand how come it happened. We don't understand why that the situation arose in our behalf. A lot of times as I hear folks speak and talk, seem like that, you know, I'd like to have the answers, but I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of things that I don't understand. A lot of things that I don't really particularly know just exactly what God is trying to do in people's lives. But I thought today as God began to speak to my heart, all down through this week I've been kind of reading on a little text, but I thought today as God began to speak to me in 1 Corinthians, this is one of the verses I'm going to read tonight. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. You can probably quote it by heart. You've read it so much probably and heard it quoted so much. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And these words I want to quote, and I want you to hear them real well, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. I don't know if you've ever been to the place to where that you wondered where the Lord was, or why that God didn't come to your rescue, or why that the situation had arose the way it had, the way it was. I don't know if you've ever been to that place in your life. I don't know if I'm the only one that has ever walked down that trail. I don't quite think I am. But I'd like to know that I was, but I don't think that I am. I think there's a lot of us tonight that have faced situations and circumstances in our life, and we don't understand quite exactly what God is trying to do. But one thing that we do know, that is God is in control and He is faithful to everything that takes place in our life. In Romans 8 chapter, verse 12, starting reading, "So therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Amen. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You need to listen to that real close, because that's a scripture that God dealt with my heart today. that last part. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. You say, Brother Mike, Paul wrote that about 1900 years ago. He did. But you know what? Paul was slinging that into 2004 for this very night right here. For I reckon, oh God, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In you, and you, and you, and me. Not in Christ, but in us. You got to remember, if we suffer with Him, if we suffer with Him, then it says that we shall or we may be glorified together. Now that's Christ suffering and us suffering with Him. But it goes on in verse 18 and says, for I reckon that the sufferings, and I want you just to put me out of your mind tonight and listen to what Paul is saying to us right here tonight. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you and me and us. God is trying to reveal something inside of us and through us and let it come out of us. Amen. You see, it's not that God doesn't know or doesn't feel or doesn't trust you as being saved, but God's saying, I want everybody else to know that you're saved. That's why the Bible speaks of edification of the Holy Ghost, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I knew I was filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know, there's some folks around me that need to know that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, now this tongue-talking business is just, no, that's God edifying you with the body of Christ and telling them that this man or this woman is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, I mean, I drive by a house and you tell me this is my house address, and that's fine. I see it on the door, and I know that that's the address of that parcel of ground and of that building that sits on that parcel of ground. But I need some evidence. So if I knock on the door and you answer the door, I know that you live there. Amen. Come on. And when we go through things in Romans, another portion of Romans, He said when we pray that there's times that we make groanings and moanings and it's not even, we don't even know what we're praying about. What God is doing is speaking through us. The Holy Ghost of God is speaking through us. And that's when Jesus steps aside and our prayers go directly into the throne room. And God, amen, then looks at those things as they really are. Because you don't know how to pray a lot of times when you're facing things and going through things and troubles and trials and temptations are taking you. You don't know what to say or how to say it. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that He may be able to usher your prayers right into the throne room of grace. Oh yes. Oh yes. It is a great, great evidence. Amen. It's a great partial in our lives that we have, that we know for a certainty that God has moved in us and touched in us and strengthened us, that we can be an evident fact to those that are around us that God is using us and working through us. Amen. It's not so much that God doesn't trust your salvation or God doesn't trust you with salvation, but God's saying, I want everybody else to see what you really have down inside of you. Amen. I got so stirred about this message, amen, that I called the diamond seller. And I began to talk to the diamond cutter. I asked him, I said, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. When you get a diamond in, what shape is it? You all know as well as I know that a diamond evolves from coal. And it sets under the pressures of coal for hundreds of years. And that sulfurated coal press us down into a segment of a rock in the middle of that coal, and it pressurizes it so much that it changes to a crystal, and they call it a diamond. And I asked him, I said, I'd like to know, does that diamond come shaped the way it is? He said, oh no, son. He said, a diamond does not come shaped the way that it is. He said, it takes a lot of work to get that diamond shaped the way that it is. He said, I said, well, does a diamond come crystal looking like it? Oh, no. He said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go out into your church parking lot. I done told him who I was. And he said, on the edge of the blacktop, I want you to get you an old gravel. And I want you to look at that old gravel and just kind of hold it in front of you for a long time. And I want you to look at it and I want you to say, this is a diamond. Hey man, I said, a diamond looking like that? He said, a diamond. He said, they come. He said, hundreds of thousands of years they've been in sulfurated coal. And he said, they don't come crystal clear. He said, but they're engaged about sulfur around them, and that coal puts a crust around them. And there's nothing can get that crust off, Brother B. Sloan. I mean, you can take SOS pads and you can take all kinds of 409 cleaner, and you can take a deep purple cleaner and orange cleaner, but that diamond's still going to come up looking just as crusty and bad as it did when you started. I said, well, what is the process of cleaning, getting that diamond straightened up? He said, you mean the shape of it? I said, no, I mean making it look crystal clear, making it sparkle when it's under light, making it look like a stone, like a gem. He said, son, he said, we've got what we call a cleaning disc. And he said, what we do, he said, you know, the only thing that'll cut a diamond is another diamond. He said, you can't cut a diamond with anything but a diamond. A diamond is the hardest material, hardest stone that there is in this world, he said. That's why, he said, when you go into these big coal cutting countries where they're coal mines, he said, they take diamonds and they put them on the tips of those cutters, and those cutters cut through that stone and through that coal. He said, that's why you find your brick masons will take diamond-covered edges, amen, and they're $300 or $400 for a little blade because they're cutting stone. And he said, there's nothing no harder than a diamond. But he said, we take that diamond and we put it in a disc. And he said, it's got little clamps all around it. And we clamp that diamond down inside of that. He said, we put pressure on it. He said, we clamp it down inside that disc. And then we close another disc on top of it that rotates that diamond around. But he said, wait a minute, before we close that diamond, we put a special agent that will clean that diamond. I said, what do you use? He said, diamond dust. Crystals and dust from other diamonds that we have cleaned and cut. He said, we ordered in special, where they grind diamonds for nothing but the cleansing of a diamond. I want you all to listen to me tonight. I want you to hear me. He said, we rotate that disc on top of that diamond dust gun, and we keep moving it around. And he said, well, before you know it, we start seeing a little cleansing taking place on the top. He said, it's a process of time. You can't do it too fast, and you can't do it too slow. You got to have the right speed. You got to have the knowledge to know exactly how to do it. He said, diamonds that you buy, or he said, what you pay for a lot of, is the shaping of that stone. He said, listen to me, friend. He said, that pressure that is put on that disc is part of it. But he said, the hard substance that's down inside of it, that's rotating around that diamond continually, he said, that's cutting away all that film away from it. He said, after hours and hours and hours and taking it out and checking it and looking at it and going back through it, he said, then after hours and hours and hours, he said, we hold that thing up. And when that blue sparkle of light comes off that diamond, we know that it is ready to be shaped. Do you know something? As I began to read these scriptures this week, God began to speak to my heart. God began to deal with my heart that there is folks right here that are being shaped and being molded. Jeremiah talks about going back down to the potter's house. Jeremiah talks about how that in that potter's house there, he's talking about the potter's wheel and how the pieces of clay is taken back. I want you to know, in art class when I was in the sixth grade, they brought in a wheel, Brother Jesse, and they slapped a piece of red clay on there, and we kids got together and we made some cups and some bowls, and they were some awful looking things, Sister Mary Hampton. But I want you to know right now, hey man, it was just a matter of a few minutes and we had them whipped up and shaped up. I'll tell you this, a real true potter don't just whip and shape things up just overnight. Amen. Sometimes he breaks the mold over and over and over and over. Sometimes he adds just a little more diamond dust and takes a little more patience, puts the curves where they need to be, makes the lip on the pot just exactly right, Brother Greg. Makes it, Brother Jerry, to the place to where that after hours and hours he spent of getting the air out of the clay, amen, getting it, Brother Markle, to where he can stick his hand down in there and form the walls inside just a little bit at a time. You see, what we want is a Burger King God. Amen. We want to drive through and get this our way and that our way. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders. They don't upset us. Amen. That's what we want. But God says, no, I don't want to hold anything. I want it all to be a part of it. I want it all to be there. I want every bit of it to be just exactly the way that it's supposed to be. He said, I want your life to be formed and molded to the place and to the shape that every individual can find that curve just exactly where it needs to be. You see, it's not for us exactly, but it's for us, amen, all of us, that Christ may be seen in us. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, Jesus told them, let your light so shine, amen, among men that they might see your good works and glorify who? The Father which is in heaven. The Father's only going to be glorified when we begin to be molded and shaped, amen, the way that God wants us to be molded and shaped. When Paul was shipwrecked that day, there's not a doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul said, I need to pack my bags and head back home. Amen. But Paul said, no, this is all for the glory of God. Amen. When that man came down to Paul, or Saul, you might say, and God said, I want you to go and I want you to tell him what great things that he must suffer. For who? For the gospel's sake. Amen. We look at this salvation as a road of ease. Amen. As a ride of freedom. And I believe that it is free. Salvation is free. But I want you to know something right now. That our forming and our fashioning of this life, our forming and fashioning and the molding that God is molding us in is not just for us. But He said the world might see Jesus Christ down inside of our souls. Huh? Hear me tonight. I never forget back 15 years ago, a young boy was going through some things with his wife. And if I'd mention his name, y'all know him. But I won't. But he was going through some things. Man, as he began to go through those things, I looked at my wife one night and I said, I'll tell you what. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he takes it. I don't know how. It has to be the grace and the mercies of God that helps him. But can I tell you this much right now tonight? That God was putting the mold back on the wheel. God was taking the clay and smashing it and saying, I want to form it. I want to make it the way I want to. You may think that the things that are you're facing in this life right now, you may think that some of the temptations and some of the overcoming things that you're facing in this life right now, you may think that they're more than you're able to bear. You may think that they're more than you're able to take. But I want you to remember one thing tonight. That diamond maker, that diamond master, amen, is cleaning up and forming and shaping
Hey, it looks just like that old crummy rock that I picked up out of the parking lot. But after a while, the dust begins to wipe away and begins to clean and begins to form and fashion, amen, a pure stone that they someday will call a gem. That's right. They call it a gem. Why? Because it is worth something. These folks, these people in this life, hey man, that don't have much to really hold on to. I don't have a lot. I know some of you may not have a lot. But I'll tell you, there's one thing I hold precious in my life, and that's the Master. You hear me? That's the one that put me on the potter's wheel and made me something. Amen. That's the one that took my life and shaped it and formed it. Amen. It took a long time. It's a many nights. Amen. He had to say, no, it ain't just the way I think it ought to be. Let's clamp it back down in the mold. Let's put it back on the wheel. Let's mold it a little more. Let's put a little more pressure on it. You see, he just don't put pressure all at once, but he applies it gradually. Those little things that tear us, those little things that pull at us, those little trials and those little temptations that we look at and we see, it's all the pressures of this world. And God's saying, I can't take them away from the pressure. You're in this world, but you're not of it. You're in this world, but you're not of it. You see, we have an address here, but it's a temporal address. Our permanent address is Hallelujah Square around Glory Center. Amen. That's our permanent address. But we have a temporal address. Amen. When we do a funeral of an individual, I always say this is a temporal body. He says all these things are temporal. Now they've gone on to receive the final reward. You see, Hebrews says it's once appointed unto man to die. And after this, the judgment. Listen, friend, it's not dying that worries people. It's that judgment. Amen. I want you to know tonight, for those that have settled Christ in their heart, it's not the judgment that worries them. It's not death that worries them. Paul said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I want you to know tonight, except a corn of wheat is dropped in the ground and begins to become fertile and breaks forth, it'll never bring forth any good thing. But when that diamond is finished and God has prepared it and put the pressure on the way He wants to, then you will be a gem. The biggest diamond in the world is about the size of your fist. Ugly. Pointed. All over. It ain't formed like we look at them. Nice round beveled edges. It's worth more than any diamond in the world. You hear me? It took them years and years to clean that diamond. Not to shape it. It's never been shaped. It's just been polished. It's been cleaned. It took hundreds and hundreds of pounds of diamond dust to get it straightened out. To get all the pieces just clean the way God wants them. You know, when you got saved, there was a part of you that pressure got clean. But there's so many more areas that needs touched up in our lives. There's so many more things that needs done. And those things, when Paul got off that ship, and that shipwreck was there, and he was freezing, no doubt. It was cold. He went out and got him some wood. And as he bent down to pick up a piece of wood, a viper, Brother Jeff Bentley, snatched onto his hand. Paul looked at the viper. I'm just paraphrasing, but don't you hold it against me because I'm allowed to do that. I believe Paul looked at that viper on his hand. And he looked at all those men sitting around that fire. And every one of those men were saying something. You know what this is a sign of? He is a murderer or a thief. And God has come to revenge him. And going to give him death. That's what the world looks at you and I and says.
when we walk before the Lord and we live a wholeness life and we stand upright before God and something happens in our life, they say, uh-oh, watch out here now. You just see. You see. Now, they ain't quite what they thought they was. But, oh, as Paul looked around that campfire and he saw all them people sitting there, Paul said, I got two choices. He said, I can shake this thing off and I can put the blood of Jesus Christ and God will see me through it. Or, he said, I can just say, uh-oh, I'm going to die. You see, Paul had those choices. He could have done one or the other. Somebody said, oh, no, brother. Yes, he did. He had choices just like you and I have. You see, when I said, just shut your eyes and focus, Paul up there speaking is for us. Amen. Don't think, Brother Mike said, thank Paul, because Paul wrote those words. He put pen in hand and wrote those down on a piece of paper. What Paul was doing was trying to tell us, you've got a choice. I've had a choice. You've got a choice. Paul shook the viper off in the fire, and he sat down there, and he lived. And you know what they said then? He's a God. Surely this man's a God. I mean, we worship him. No. Just as Peter said, don't worship me. I'm a man just like you are. But I serve a God that's real. Amen. Only thing this was doing to Paul was adding just a little more dust on the diamond. Hey man, just grind it a little bit more and let the sparkles come through, brother. Hey, listen to me tonight. Sometimes when our trials and our temptations and things overtake us in this life and we feel like that there's no place to run and hide, we feel like there's nothing to do, no place that we can crawl underneath, God's saying, stand up and shine. It's just the dust. Let me tell you something tonight, church. Not many people can shine. You hear me? When problems come and troubles come and situations arise, not many people can shine. They're too busy with their head covered up. I've been preaching, teaching, telling people for years, don't lay on that altar with your head down. Lift your head up and thank God for victory. You see, victory only comes when you thank God for it. When Jehoshaphat left the camp in the Old Testament, he walked out of the camp and started worshiping and praising God. For what? For the victory. For the victory. You see, when you try to hide and disguise yourself with this world, with these things, you'll be as, who was it? Ahab, I believe it was, or that tried to disguise himself and he got with a spear and run through with a sword. Huh? Why? Because they didn't know who they was cutting at. They didn't know who they was shooting at. When God's people holds their head up high and begins to rejoice in the Lord, the devil knows exactly where you are. He knows what's going on in your life, but he knows that he can't touch you. Why? Because God's adding a little more diamond dust on you. God's grinding the stone just a little bit more. Just a tiny bit more. Put a little more pressure on that, Lord. Huh? When the devil went before God over Job, in first chapter of Job, read about it. A lot of folks don't even know the devil right now, this day, has access to heaven. The Bible says he's a false accuser of the brethren. Now, the heaven is the Lord's throne and the earth is His footstool. God's not going to budge off anything. So when the devil went up there one day, the Bible said in the first chapter of Job that there was a time that the sons of God presented themselves before the throne of God. And who showed up there? Satan. You know what he said? Michelle is down there and she really thinks she's something. Amen. She really thinks she's got it. God said, no. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You got it wrong. That's Michelle Francis. She was saved when she was a little girl. Filled with the Holy Ghost at a young age. No, you got that wrong. No. Lord. If you'd remove your hand from her, she'd curse you and die. She'd be just like all other flesh. But the Lord said, oh, no. No. No, sir. Not at all. Let me tell you something. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me closer right now, and you've listened to me in the whole night. Job messed up. Job made mistakes. Job cursed the day that he was ever born from his mother's womb. Job was at the place to where he was ready to do just as that. But God had already made a plan. He said, you can have everything but his soul. That's mine. You hear me?
And when it got too much on Job, God said, "That's it. Hold on. You crossed the boundary, devil. You went farther than you're supposed to. I'm taking over now." The end results of Job, if you don't know, I'll tell you. You ought to read it. He, what? Seven times more? He was the richest man in the Middle East. But at the end, Job increased himself, multiplied seven times more, greater in riches and value than he had before he started. And he was already the richest man in the Middle East. What happened, Brother Mike? How come God did that? Because when the diamond dust kept grinding and grinding and grinding, one day God stopped the paddle, pulled the diamond up and said, "It's ready. It's ready." I want you to know something tonight, church. It ain't always going to be like it is right now. It's not always going to be this way. There's going to come a day when the trump of God is going to sound. Now, the dead in Christ are going to rise first because they have that right. They died in the faith. But He said, don't be sorrowful, because we that which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. But Jimmy, me and you going in the clouds, son. Huh? We're going to leave this world and we're going to get out of here. When we stand before the gate and they open the book of life, you know what they're looking for? A real gem. Somebody that has kept the faith and finished the course. And Paul said, "Henceforth is laid up for me, and not only me, but for all of those. For all of those. For everyone that has awaited His appearance." Hear me tonight. Pressure comes. Troubles come. Sorrows and heartaches come. But it's just God's way of saying, "Okay, in this life you shall have temptation. You guys are quite young. I would you stay the age you are. I don't know what it would be like." I looked at TJ a while ago. I looked at him today in school as he walked down the hallway, and I thought to myself, no phone bill, no electric bill, no house payment, no car payment. Can't get no better than you got it, bud. Huh? What I'm saying tonight is this. One day, our hearts and our lives is going to be like that little fellow's right there, that little girl's there, that little boy's over here and there and there. You know, Alyssa expects Jeff. He don't look like much, does he? You get him round, he's a roaring bear. He's a tiger. You get him stirred up, son. I tell you stories. I won't go into it. But he is that baby's protector. And that boy's protector. I'll tell you something. There's going to come a day when I'm going to step through the gates. And I'm going to thank my protector. Oh, God. Brother Darnell, He's kept His hand on us. He's held the storms of life back. When they raised around us, Sister Vernie, when they got so hard that we couldn't take no more, I believe He stepped out on the bow of the ship and said, "Peace, be still." Amen. She sings that song, "He calmed the troubled waters of my soul." You hear me tonight? You hear me tonight? I reckon the temptations and the problems and the troubles of this present world, amen, are so hard sometimes. But He said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." God's going to show and shine forth out of every one of us like the noonday sun. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. Our minds are so small compared to God's big hand. But I know this much right now, that the Lord knows exactly what He's doing. He knows how much pressure to apply to that disc. He knows how much dust to sprinkle around that stone.
He knows exactly how to get it to where He wants it. One day He's going to loosen up the clamps and He's going to take it out and He's going to look at it under the real sun. S-O-N. And He's going to say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over much." Could you stand tonight if you can and will with us as they sing a verse of a song tonight? I just felt like God just dealt with my heart this week just to speak to this congregation. And I wanted to wait so bad till Sunday night to preach this. But the Holy Ghost said tonight, tonight's the night. Sister Becky Cordell, I was praying today. I can remember when you was just like that stone. Just a year or two ago. Just sulfurated with hard crust around you. But the molding and the shaping and the grinding of the diamond dust. Look where you're at today.